right, turn if you would, Luke chapter 21, Luke chapter 21. We'll read verses 12 through 15, and we'll read these verses together. Luke chapter 21, verse 12 through 15. All together. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for a little bit of a verse here I'm going to bring out and bring forth. I pray, Father, that we would heed what you have for us tonight. And I do pray that we would settle it in our hearts on this matter of following you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now notice the Lord Jesus says in verse 14 of our text, settle it therefore in your hearts. Now he's sending a clear message that we should not worry about how we are going to respond to those who would criticize us, to those who hurt us, or try to stop us from living for God as we should. We must, during such times, be a faithful witness and maintain a godly testimony. It has not in the past, is not in the present, and won't be in the future to live a life wholly dedicated to the Lord and not face any opposition. Matter of fact, we are told in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So let us get it settled in our hearts that when our faith is being opposed, let the Lord fill our mouth, be our guide and defense, for he will confound our enemies to the point that they will not know how to respond to us. Now, in the Old Testament, we read of a very interesting man who happened to be named Caleb, of whom the Bible says he wholly followed the Lord. Now, Caleb was one of the 12 spies that went out to check the land of Canaan that the Jews were to possess. Now, we read about this in the book of Numbers in chapter 13, verse 17 through 20, and it says this, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, go ye up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether they be there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Well, on this reconnaissance mission, they were to go into the land, they were to take a look around, they were to see what kind of people were there, the cities that they dwelt in, and bring back a report. Now, when we think of Caleb and Joshua, they were the only two spies who believed that the land was theirs for the taking, and with the help of God, the land promised to the Jews would be their possession. The other 10 spies came back with an evil report, and they said it can't be done. They're giants in the land. Now, 'tis true they couldn't because they left God out of their equation. Two believed that with God it was possible. But these 10, whose names we don't remember, so discouraged the people that they feared to cross the Jordan River and claim what was there. And so these 10 spies snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. We must realize we can't live a life that pleases the Lord without him. And our walk of faith is to be one of progress and one of claiming the promises that he has given us. Now, did God promise the land to Israel? Did he say it would be a cakewalk? The problem Israel faced was God hadn't told the Canaanites that they were moving. So the 10th spy said, we can't do it, even though the land is flowing with milk and honey, just like God said. Have you ever noticed how much a believer accomplishes in their life when they say they can't? They can't attend church faithfully. They can't read their Bible regularly. They can't tithe consistently. They can't pray daily. They can't go sowing and steadily and move forward by faith dutifully. You got it. They don't make any progress at all. The 10 spies, like so many believers today, say, I can't. But Caleb was one of the two who said, let's get her done. With God is not only possible, but we can't afford to pass up the opportunity to do as we are told. Now, I don't know how many people actually came out of Egypt, but it could have been between 2 to 3 million Jews. Yet out of all of them, there were only two who believed they could take the land that was promised to them. Even after the congregation wanted to stone him, Caleb would not change his mind because he was one who wholly followed the Lord. And notice how the Lord points Caleb out to us as he tells Moses in Numbers chapter 14, verse 22 through 24. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the other 10 spies looked at the problems. Caleb looked at God's promises. When others saw giants, Caleb saw God. When others saw high-walled cities, Caleb saw them laid to waste. When others saw dangerous foes, Caleb saw delicious fruit. When others fretted and found fault, Caleb followed the Lord. Somewhere in Caleb's life, he settled in his heart that come what may, he would follow the Lord fully. When you read of his life in the scriptures, you find such words concerning him as holy, faithfully, and fully associated with the name of Caleb. In Numbers 32:12, we read, Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Then in Deuteronomy 1:36, it says, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him I will give the land that he hath trodden upon and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Then various verses in Joshua chapter 14 describe Joshua as follows. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. He, speaking of Caleb, wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now, the name Caleb means dog. Perhaps when his father heard that his son was born unto him in the poor section of Goshen, where the people of Israel were enslaved, he simply called him dog, for a dog's life was all he could expect for his boy. Caleb took his name as a badge of honor and decide if he was going to be a dog, he'd be a good dog. One who knew who his master was, one who would follow hard after his master's heels, and one who would remain loyal to his master through thick and thin. He settled it in his heart. Since his name means dog, he was going to be the Lord's dog. He would be the best dog his master had. And Caleb followed the Lord fully, faithfully and fearlessly. No foe would deter him. No command of God was too big for him to obey, and no conditional promise that God gave his people would be too hard to claim. If he had to do his part, he believed God would do his part in that which he promised. Even after the congregation failed to claim Canaan and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and then 5 years of conquering the promised land under Joshua, once the land had been divided up, Caleb, at the age of 85, says to his fellow spy, Joshua, who also gave a good report, he says, 45 years ago, when I was 40 years old, he says, Moses promised me some land, and I want that land. I want that mountain. I want the giants. I want all that is in there. I am 85 years old this day. I'm still as strong as I was when I was 40. I am ready to claim what all of us should have claimed 45 years ago. That mountain belongs to me, for I have not wavered, I have not waffled, and I haven't been wobbly. For I have settled in my heart that I would wholly, fully, and faithfully follow the Lord. Caleb was a man of altitudes. He was a man that was determined to live above others when it came to drawing nigh to God and being led by him. I wonder how many of us could honestly sing these words. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the storms are sweeping and the dark waters flow. With his word to lead me, I will never, never fear. Danger cannot fright me, for his promises are clear. This much I know, Caleb could. And all of us should be able to sing that song honestly. Now, so many in Bible times, just as today, have strayed. For we who are his sheep have not always followed the shepherd as closely as we should. Did not Abraham on his own flee to Egypt in a famine? And did not he lie about his wife twice, saying that Sarah was his sister? Did not Jacob deceive his father Isaac? And did he not take a detour to Shechem when he was told to go to Bethel? Did not Samson marry a heathen Philistine girl, violate his Nazarite vows on several occasions, and become guilty of unlawful sexual activity? Was not King David sinful in the taking of Uriah's wife and having Uriah killed in battle? How about Solomon? God used him to write the books of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And if he only took his own advice that he wrote down, that God gave him in the Word, he wouldn't have had such a terrible ending. You see, his lust for women led him astray from the Lord. This matter of immorality is a blight upon God's people. And so is marrying the unsaved. This much I know, that this unlawful sexual activity takes place by many people in the pew, and oftentimes by men behind the pulpit. Brethren, these things ought not so to be. Whatever happened to God's people saving themselves for the one they will marry, and then being faithful to them till the day of their death? How about Moses? Didn't he get angry and strike the rock twice instead of speaking to it? He was the meekest man in Israel, and yet he lost his temper and it cost him entrance into the promised land. Did not Peter, the leader of the apostles, deny the Lord 3 times as he sat by the devil's fire warming himself? Did not Demas go into the world and leave the apostle Paul? Did not John Mark quit on his missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas? Then how many do we know today who are not close to the Lord? Who are not walking in the light as he is in the light? Maybe it's time we ask ourselves, have we settled in our heart to come with me, like Caleb, I will fully, and I will faithfully follow the Lord. Where are the Enochs who walk with the Lord day in and day out and have a testimony that pleased God? Where are the Josephs who through great difficulties that it could be said of him that the Lord was with him? Where are the Jobs who lose everything yet still maintain their integrity and can say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? Where are the Samuels who believe obedience is better than sacrifice? Or the Pauls who could say at the end of their earthly sojourn, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I have kept the faith. All I got to say is may their tribe increase. May we settle in our hearts that we, like Caleb, are going to be dogs who will doggedly follow our Lord wholly, will obey him fully, and live for him faithfully all of our days. Not only at some point did he settle in his heart to wholly follow the Lord, but Caleb possessed a different spirit. He possessed a different spirit. In Numbers 14:24, the Lord says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Now Caleb had a different spirit than the other spies did. They said, we can't do it. Caleb looked at God and said, yes, we can. Caleb's spirit was one that was steadfast. It was in tune with the Lord, while the other 10 spies, they were unstable, unsuitable, and unfit for making spiritual progress. Caleb's spirit was one of we can do what God wants us to do. We can do what he would have us to do. I hope you realize that we can always do what the Lord would have us do. But if we fail to have the right spirit, we won't. We won't believe God can, nor will we believe that God will accomplish what he wants for our lives. Caleb had a different spirit. And he could say it can be done, all because it was settled. Caleb's spirit was one of confident obedience. So many believers struggle with being obedient to God's word, and they pick out some things that they're willing to obey and then dismiss that which is not to their liking. Folks, the difference between disobedience and obedience is marked by the believer's attitude towards sin. And one cannot rely on God's promises without obeying his commandments. Caleb had a complete faith in God, and it didn't matter if he was the only one who did what was right. He took God at his word. He obeyed the Lord. He believed God was good for what he had promised. Caleb's spirit was one of consecration. You know, Caleb wasn't looking to be comfortable, to play it safe. He didn't even concern himself about how it would affect him. He didn't let others persuade him to do what was contrary to what thus saith the Lord. Nor would he allow the multitude or those close to him to lead him astray. Caleb's spirit can be summed up in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. That verse tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He was one who presented himself to the Lord to do his will and not his own. Christianity is sorely lacking and in great need of those who are totally and fully given over to the Lord. Because Caleb wholly followed the Lord and had a different spirit, he stood out. And my, what a testimony this man had. If the Bible had only recorded once that he wholly followed the Lord, we might not give it a second thought. We might overlook it. But it says this about him multiple times. He had a persevering spirit. He stood firm at all times when others were not. He was willing to do so and could be counted on to do the Lord's will. The truth of what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 58 could have been written of Caleb. And it says this, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." What's your spirit like? Do you delight in obeying the Lord? Do you obey out of duty? Or perhaps you only obey in some things that's to your liking. Is it one of consecration? Or does your personal welfare play a bigger role than it should? Do you continue on in your obedience? Or is it hit and miss depending on the circumstances you're faced with? We all have a choice to make. We can all have a different spirit. We can all have one that honors the Lord and be settled on what the Lord would have us do. Or we can have a spirit like most believers who are willing to tolerate disobedience in their lives and settle for the wilderness instead of enjoying the fruits of what God has promised. Yes, Caleb, holy follower of the Lord, had a different spirit about him. But he was also settled on pursuing a different course. The Lord says, "Caleb hath followed me fully." He stood alone. Not many in his days took the way that Caleb did. Have you ever thought, why didn't the Lord just move the Canaanites out of the land? Was it impossible for him to do so? It'd have been mighty easy for him just to vacate that land and let Israel come in. He could have done it with ease. He didn't need the Israelites' help. But he did want his people to be part of the victory. He wanted them to be in the battle. He was testing their faith and allowing them to prove their trust in him. For after all, a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. Caleb wasn't in the battle for the promised land because it was easy or what he could get out of it. All he ever wanted to do was follow the Lord all of his days. And he wanted to finish well in his service to God. He had it settled in his heart that he was going to serve God no matter the cost, no matter the heartache, no matter the trials or adversities, nor the setbacks. None of that would keep him from being of service to the Lord whom he had fully followed. He had it settled in his heart that he was going to keep on serving the Lord, gaining new ground, and going from one victory unto the next. Caleb wasn't interested in what the opinions of others were. He knew the will of God, and he did it. He pursued a much different course than most believers. Caleb was a godly man. He was a man who wholly followed the Lord, had a different spirit, pursued a different course, all because he had these things settled in his heart. My fellow believer, don't you think it's time that we get some things settled in our own hearts? Why do we waffle? Why are we wobbly? Why don't we follow the Lord closely like we should? Perhaps it's because we haven't settled it in our hearts to do so. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed. This much I